Amen. Be seated. I'm sorry. Be seated, please, everyone. Our Bible lesson this morning comes from the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles, the fifth book of the New Testament. We're going to look today at chapter 12. We're going to start reading at verse 6, read through verse 11. The very night before Herod was going to bring him out, Peter was bound with two chains and was sleeping between two soldiers while guards in front of the door were keeping watch over the prison. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared and a light shone in the cell. He tapped Peter on the side and woke him, saying, "Get up quickly." And the chains fell off his wrists. The angel said to him, "Fasten your belt and put on your sandals." He did so. Then he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." Peter went out and followed him. He did not realize that what was happening with the angel's help was real. He thought he was seeing a vision. After they had passed the first and the second guard, they came before the iron gate leading into the city. It opened for them of its own accord, and they went outside and walked along a lane when suddenly the angel left him. Then Peter came to himself and said, "Now I am sure that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from the hands of Herod and from all that of the Jewish people who were expecting." The word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Almighty God, our gracious Lord, we thank you and praise you for the privilege and honor to call upon your name again and to sing praise to your name. Lord, we thank you for this hour of praise and worship and this chance to study your word for a few minutes. And we ask, O Lord, that your Holy Spirit will truly move among us. And we pray, Lord, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of ours together might be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, the prospective bride and groom were getting the plans together about the wedding, and she was talking about her dress. She said, "My white gown is a symbol of joy." And the groom meditated about it for a minute and asked, "Well, then why am I supposed to wear black like at a funeral?" Well, weddings are truly joyous times. And our times of worship should be times of joy also. Times of joy, times of praise. And so our Bible lesson today is the amazing story of how God rescued the Apostle Peter in a time of great need. It is the great escape of Peter. Now, the rest of Peter happened, we can read about it in the first five verses of the chapter, of chapter 12. It was a time of intense persecution. Herod was an enemy of the early church. He was the grandson of Herod the Great, who had ordered all the infant boys killed in Bethlehem at the time of Jesus' birth to kill the Messiah and the future king. Herod Agrippa I was as cruel as his grandfather had been. To please the Orthodox Jews or the very conservative Jews who hated Jesus and his followers, and to please the Romans, Herod had Christians jailed or killed. The Apostle James, who was the son of Zebedee, the older brother of John, the author of the fourth gospel, James was beheaded at this point. Herod found this to be a very popular thing to do, especially during the Jewish religious festival of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, the festival that leads up to the festival of Passover. So Herod had Peter, one of the other leading leaders of the church, arrested. He assigned four squads of four soldiers each to watch Peter. And that means there was four guards on each of four watches of 6 hours each, which meant that with that number of guards, there is no chance of escape or for breaking Peter out. And so verse 5 here of chapter 12 tells us that the church was earnestly praying to God for Peter. And then came the escape of Peter. We just read about that. Peter didn't even realize what was happening. He thought it was a dream or a vision or something. It was only when he got outside the jail, his chains had fallen off of him, the angel told him to put his belt on and to wrap his cloak or his coat around him to go outside. He thought it was all a dream or a vision until he got outside. The angel disappeared. He was in an alleyway, and he realized that he had really, God had, through the angel, let him out of jail. He had not expected this. And that's the surprise of answered prayer, which happens from time to time in all of our lives. Peter was surprised by what had happened. In fact, he made a beeline for the home of Mary. Now, Mary was the mother of John Mark, the author of the second gospel. And the people gathered at her home for prayer were stunned that Peter was there. In fact, well, let's read about it. Starting in chapter 12, verse 12 through verse 17. As soon as Peter realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose other name was Mark, where many had gathered and were praying. When he knocked at the outer gate, a maid named Rhoda came to answer. On recognizing Peter's voice, she was so overjoyed that instead of opening the gate, she ran in and announced that Peter was standing at the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind." But she insisted that it was so. And they said, "It is his angel." Meanwhile, Peter continued knocking, and when they opened the gate, they saw him and were amazed. He motioned to them with his hand to be silent and described for them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he added, "Tell this to James and to the believers." Then he left and went to another place. Isn't it ironic? Isn't it ironic? Here they were, gathered together, a dozen or more of them, maybe two dozen, gathered together, praying for Peter. Rhoda comes in, says, "You hear that knock on the door? It's Peter outside. Peter's out there." And said, "You're out of your mind." I thought maybe it's his angel or ghost. They went out, and it was Peter, sure in the flesh, sure in Begora. They had a hard time believing that their prayer had been answered right then and there. Doesn't that sound familiar to you? Doesn't that sound familiar? Sounds a little bit maybe like us, like you and me. Sometimes we look at the people of the New Testament, we say, "Oh, they had such great faith." But to be honest, they were really no different than you and me. We look at the people in the New Testament, they say, "Oh, they were nearly perfect. They knew Jesus personally, and they had such great faith. I am such a peon of faith in comparison to them." But as you read again and again, you read in the Gospels about Jesus and his disciples and others that he interacted with. We read in the book of Acts, we read throughout the New Testament that the people of the New Testament were just like us. Like us, they prayed, but they weren't confident that their prayers would be heard by God. They weren't sure that God will really answer their prayers and their requests. And that is so much like us. We pray, but how often do we expect and plan as though God will somehow, in some way, answer our prayers? You know the old story of the preacher, the Methodist preacher, who told his congregation to pray for rain. They were in a drought and hadn't rained in a month. And he told them to be praying this week, pray three times a day, morning, noon, and before you go to bed. Pray for rain every day. The next Sunday they come, he walks up to the pulpit with his umbrella in hand. He said, "Have you been praying?" And they all said, "Yes, we've been praying." He said, "Then where's your umbrella?" Do we pray expecting that God is going to answer us? Well, I want to tell you that that expectation is a crucial part of dynamic prayer. He or she who expects little from God will receive little. Sometimes we are disappointed with what God gives us, but did we ask for and expect too little? Do we fail to ask God for bigger things? Now, many people have had car wrecks, many similar to the one I had many years ago. I've told you before about how hard I prayed and while I laid in the hospital bed with a broken body, half paralyzed, with shattered bones. I pleaded with God to restore my body enabled me to recover so that I could walk again and preach again and marry my girlfriend who's sitting on the second row there. She's my girlfriend. She's also been my wife of 32 years. I want everybody to be clear on that. I believe that God answered my prayers. God enabled me to walk in. Now, some of you may say, well, the preaching part, we may need to think about that. God may not have really answered the prayer about the preaching. But anyway, at any rate, that's for another day. Others have had similar accidents with massive head injuries like I had, and with similar results and similar treatment. Some have recovered more fully than I have, and some haven't recovered nearly as much as I have. Why do some people recover so well and others do not? Does God like some people better than others? No, I don't believe that God plays favorites. Now, I know the human body is very complex, and no two head injuries like the one I had and others have had are exactly alike. But the differences in our recovery may have been influenced to some part by the levels of expectations and prayers that we each had, the expectations of what God can and will do. The formula for creative intercessory prayer, praying for others, is to listen carefully to God's leading, to pray and to ask boldly, to trust God completely, and to know that the answer that God gives is God's immense decision utilizing far more wisdom on far more levels than we could ever understand. The Bible tells us again and again, right here we see in the 12th chapter of Acts, that God enables us to escape the powers of this world. And you know who your enemy is. You know who your enemy from whom God will rescue you. Your enemy is the devil. Testified to throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Recognize that the devil is the author of so many of your temptations and trials. And he is an enemy that never gives up. He never sleeps. He never goes on vacation. He never rests. He never takes a day off. He never looks the other way. He never quits. The earth is a spiritual battlefield for human hearts and minds. Now remember, God will sometimes allow us to face trials so that he might teach us patience, that he might teach us faith, and teach us to trust him more completely through that trial or that temptation. And know this, though, that your help is the Lord Almighty. Psalm 121 says, "Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth." So notice in this story about Peter, we have no indication that Peter was worried or fretful. It would be understandable that he would be. His friend and fellow apostle whom he had known for many years, that they probably knew each other very well, pretty well, when they both fished the Sea of Galilee together. James and his younger brother John, the sons of Zebedee. Peter and his brother Andrew. Peter had probably known James many, many years. James had been brutally killed. All Christians were being persecuted. It would have been natural and normal for Peter to have been terrified about what was going to happen to him. But we don't see that Peter seemed to be worried to the point of thinking that the angel's rescue of him was only a vision that he didn't recognize to be the real thing until he was way out, a block away from the prison, standing in the street in the middle of the night. Perhaps Peter had remembered that verse from Psalm 121. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. The devil may never rest, but neither does the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. So be confident that Christ rescues us today just as he did in the New Testament times. For God is at work today as much in the lives of his people as he was then. I got to know several years ago, a Dr. Ira Pierce. He was a retired physician and a faithful member of Washington Pike United Methodist Church in Knoxville, Tennessee. A few years before, at supper, he had a strange attack similar to a stroke. He realized what others were saying in his family, but he couldn't communicate with them. His wife pointed out to him that he was trying to eat his silverware and his napkin at once, and he thought that was rather odd, and so he stopped, and his family took him to the emergency room at the hospital. He couldn't communicate with the doctors and nurses, even the ones that he knew. It's the medical condition of aphasia. But he understood what they said to him and behind his back. So finally, Ira just decided to talk to Jesus. Dr. Pierce was a devout Christian and said that for 2 hours, he and Jesus had a good talk, a really good time. And after 2 hours, Dr. Pierce said that he felt a bright, warm light start low in his vision and shoot up. And he felt instantly better. He turned to his wife, who was seated in a chair next to him in the hospital room, and said, "Honey, the Lord has healed me. Let's go home." She made him stay for 3 more days. They ran a battery of tests on him, but they never found anything wrong. He tells that story to his doctor friends and colleagues today, and they just shake their heads. Jesus rescues us even yet today. So friends, recognize that Jesus rescues us today. So let us be earnest in our prayers, confident that God will hear us and will answer our prayers as he sees fit. Maybe not as we expect, but as he sees fit. And let us be expectant that God will perform his perfect will in all circumstances. In all circumstances. Let us pray. Almighty God, we give you thanks and praise that you are the same Lord that rescued Peter out of prison so long ago. Lord, give us guidance and give us strength. Give us wisdom and insight. Give us faith that as we pray, we know that you hear our prayers and that you will answer our prayers. Lord, help us to be expectant that you will answer our prayers as you see fit. Perhaps not as we think you ought to, but as you see in your infinite wisdom what is best for us and others around us. Lord, deliver us from our trials and our temptations and give us strength for the morrow, that we might share the love of Jesus everywhere we go, with everyone we meet, that they may know that Jesus Christ, the crucified Savior, rose from the grave on the 3rd day and is alive today, is alive in his people. Lord Jesus, help us be your people and share your love where we go. Amen.